your Bibles, turn to Proverbs, the 31st chapter, Proverbs chapter 31. Yes, I'm aware of the time. Teenagers, I know you have a big night planned. We'll get you there. Golden Prayer Warriors, I know you have a big night planned. We'll get you there. Hang on tight. Proverbs chapter 31. This is an unusual type of situation. We're looking at the family, and we're looking at Proverbs 31 because this is a mother giving advice to her son. In this case, it happens to be Solomon's mother giving advice to Solomon. When we get to Proverbs chapter 31, what do you think of? What's the theme of Proverbs 31? So this should be a mother giving advice to her daughter, but it's not. It's a mother giving advice to her son. And by the way, when you think of Solomon, how many wives did he have? You might think that she would be saying at this point, have you not learned anything yet? And that's where we're at. We've already looked at the first few verses already. Now we're going to jump into where it begins, the most famous part of Proverbs chapter 31. Let's begin together, please. Get to myself the right page. At verse 10, who can find a virtuous woman, for her price is far above rubies? Let's pray. Father, we ask. Thank you for the opportunity we have to gather around your word tonight. God, I pray that you would challenge moms and grandmothers to step up to the plate and to give the advice that their families need to hear, that you would cause us as families to stop and listen, to hearken, to hear, that you would help us all to realize and recognize that our mothers and our grandmothers are a gift from you. And we pray that you would allow the impact that they might have to be godly on the lives of the people here at Southeast Baptist. And we'll thank and praise you for all that you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'm reminded as Paul's writing to Timothy, Paul says to Timothy, you know, the people who influenced you the most in the gospel, Timothy, were who? Your mother and your grandmother. This is an important thing. Timothy's father was likely unsaved, Greek, and yet this mother and this grandmother had great impact, and so we don't want to miss this. So as we're looking at this, first of all, let's kind of fill in the gaps. If you are here and unmarried, listen up. This is for you, for sure. No question about it. Girls, excuse me, set your sight on becoming this virtuous woman. Guys, don't settle for anything less than this virtuous woman. If you are here and you're a mother or a father, listen up. This is what your kids need to hear. We don't just kind of throw caution to the wind and hope that they figure it out. By the way, that is kind of what we do in America. And we're paying the price of that, are we not? That's not what we ought to do. We ought to stop and sit and train and teach and let them know what it looks like, what they're actually looking for. And then, of course, as parents, we ought to then seek to be the person that we're teaching our kids to look for. So involve yourself. Now you say, I don't have any kids or grandkids, or my kids are already married or whatever. Then take a look around the church. Because pure religion and undefiled is this, and that is that we, as God's people, invest ourselves into the fatherless. Listen to what it says. So you have a job to do even here of being the example and of teaching the example. So we're going to look at this just a few verses tonight because I know the time and I know what all we have planned. As we're looking at this virtuous woman, I don't know exactly in Solomon's life where this is happening. We're told that he's an adult probably at this point that he's getting this. I don't know if he's already, if he's is looking for his first wife or he's blundered into his 273rd, and his mom is trying to help him out at this point. I don't know exactly where this bit of advice fits into Solomon's life, but beside the point, she felt it necessary to share this, and God felt it necessary to put it in his word. So let's learn from it. Go into verse 11. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. Now, as we're looking at things, all right, guys, as you're looking for this young lady, here's what you want. Here's what you don't want. Let's go what you don't want first, all right? If you have to buy her happiness today, then you better get you a good job. Because you're going to buy her happiness every day of your life. In other words, if she gets mad at you because you didn't bring her roses, then you just better make a lot of money, because she's always going to do this. I mean, apart from God doing a work in her heart and changing her heart, she's always going to be in need of spoil. That does not mean, husbands, that we ought not to do nice things for our wives. We don't do those things because we are required to, right? We do them because husbands love their wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. That's why we do them. So if we do them because we have to, it's like, oh, got to take my wife to dinner again. Wow, that's, you know, we're in trouble, all right? So there's twofold here. There is a something about the husband and there's something about the lady. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he doesn't have to spoil her to keep her happy. Ladies, what would be the one word that you would use to describe that kind of a woman? What good Bible word would describe that woman who has no need of spoil? Content. I don't know who said that, but that's exactly the word we're looking for. It's to be content. Ladies, this is your goal. You need to learn to be content in whatsoever state you are, therewith to be content. And learning how to be content is not easy. It's a challenge for everyone. It is. And if you do not learn to be content, then you're going to be that woman who is constantly putting pressure on her husband to supply more and more and more. You're constantly giving him reason, need to spoil you. And I'm going to tell you right up front, that marriage won't work for very long. And even if you stay together, staying together is not the same as a marriage working. Do you understand? Well, our goal is, this is part of our goal, teenagers, don't miss this, but our goal is not just to stay together until we die. Our goal is to stay together and experience all the wonders of marriage that God wants us to experience. Do you understand? Which is a reflection of our relationship to him, which is joy unspeakable and full of glory. Right? Our marriages ought to reflect that. It is a peace that passes understanding. So we don't just want a marriage that sticks together. We want a marriage that actually exemplifies our relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. And it starts in this concept. Then guys, there's a part to you. The heart of her husband doth safely what? Trust. Guys, listen up. How many times have you heard stories? Everybody who's ever had to counsel anyone for very long has heard stories like this. He doesn't trust me. He checks on my phone calls. I mean, I've heard stories like he'll walk in the house, and if the phone cord isn't hanging the same way that it was hanging when he left that morning, he gets out his notebook and says, who are you talking to today? I'd like to see me try to do that to Melody. First of all, we don't have a phone cord. You know, we don't have phone cords anymore. It's an amazing thing. But, you know, she'd probably look at me and say, I beg your pardon. Who do you think you're talking to? You know, the idea is we ought not to be so untrusting. Look over at 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the love chapter again. Charity suffers long and is kind, even if not, vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly. It's not easily provoked, thinketh no evil. This is what it is. So, guys, our job is to trust. Ladies, your job is to not have need of spoil. We ought not to have, can you see that relationship already? If you know somebody like that, you can picture it in your mind. It's not leading to joy unspeakable and full of glory. It's not leading to a peace that passes understanding. It is leading to a future explosion, and you know it's coming. He doesn't trust her, and she's constantly nagging him for more and more and more. And this is not going to work. It's a dangerous place to be. And Solomon's mom says, listen up, son, I want you to figure something out. This is what a godly woman looks like. This is what a virtuous woman looks like. the heart of her husband is safely trust in her. So he said, let's get to one more verse, and then I'm aware of the time. Look at verse 12. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. Well, of course, every young couple going into that marriage says, of course, I would never do him evil. Okay, you get the idea. We've all been around, well, not all of us, but you know, those of us who have been around long enough to know. Now, by the way, this is, you could read this the opposite direction. You could say, who can find a godly man for his price is far above rubies? And then you could kind of say the same things about him. I'm aware, but God chose to put the woman in this category. And here's what the Bible says, ladies. Listen up. She will do him good and not evil. Would you help me here? Those of you who have some experience in life, what would be a good thing that you could do for your husband? Ladies, give me one. Wow, we're in trouble. I'm sorry. Pray for him. You could pray for your husband. Do you realize the pressure that is on him? Pressure that is on him from God to take the responsibility of his home? And he needs your prayers. You know why? Because here's what God said about your husband. It is not good that he should be alone. He needs some help. God looked at him from the very beginning and said, he can't do this by himself. It's funny, but it's not. That's exactly what God said, is it not? It is an amazing thing to me, ladies. You can take much heart in this. I can't find any place in the scripture where God looked at a woman and said, she can't do this by herself. But God did say that about us men. And what I'm saying, ladies, is he needs your prayers. He does. Because he is prone to wander. Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God he loves. He is not going to be able to do this by himself. And if you are leaving him by himself because you're constantly nagging him to give you more, if you are leaving him by himself because you're not doing good unto him, you're crippling him. And he will fail. He won't let you down. He'll do exactly what you're expecting him to do. He'll fail. Give me something else good that you could do for your husband. Be careful how you talk about him. I don't know this, because unlike some men in here, I'll leave names out, I've never been to a beauty parlor other than to pick something up. I've never had anything done to myself at a beauty parlor. But my wife's a beautician, and she doesn't do that anymore, hasn't done it for years and years and years, so if you ask her to cut her hair, she's going to tell you no. But anyway, she's a beautician. She keeps up her license so that if I die, she has something to do. I don't know. I don't know how that works, but you get the idea. She's also a teacher, so she's got a degree for teaching, too, so she can do all kinds of stuff. But here's the point. I know the stories that come out of the beauty parlor, and I know that when women get together, it becomes a natural thing for that woman, those women, to talk about their husbands in a bad way. I'm just saying, that's the nature. That is your nature. Our nature is we can't do this by ourselves, and your nature is that left alone, I'm not trying to be mean, but this is what God says, you become busybodies. That's what God says. And it's a dangerous place. So if you want to do him good and not evil, watch how you talk about him. What people think of your husband is probably what you've told them. Think about right now, think about some husband that you think is an absolute lout, that you think is a disgrace to manhood right now, and ask yourself, where did I get that information? Because I'm going to tell you that 80% of the time, it was from his wife. And she, this godly woman, will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. It's a challenge to be a godly woman. This doesn't come to us by nature to be godly. So that's what we're going to be looking at. That's the introduction kind of tonight into the rest of Proverbs chapter 31. So focus on these two things, right? Guys, trust. Ladies, do not be demanding. Ladies, do good and not evil all the days of his life. And what we begin to see is a home that reflects the relationship that we can have with the Lord Jesus Christ, which is always described in terms like love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. This is what marriage in a godly fashion ought to look like. Teenagers, do not settle for anything less. Nothing less. And all of us who are married, why should we settle for anything less out of our marriages? Forgetting those things that are behind, from this day forward, strive for that kind of marriage by being this kind of person. We're going to get there as we study it together.